on this patronal feast day of this parish of Prince of Peace. Merry Christmas. It's worth taking some time to ponder what we celebrate today. It's not just merely the birth in history of our Lord Jesus Christ, but rather this Christ's Mass celebrates the whole of Christ. It's that whole Christ which we heard in our gospel this morning. It encompasses absolutely everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's this Word that we celebrate at Christmas. Last night at midnight Mass, the chants spoke of the eternal begetting of the Son from the Father. In the beginning, the begetting of the Son from the Father, the eternal begetting of the Son from the Father. The one through whom all things are made, we heard in our second reading from Hebrews. That Word that sustains everything in existence, without whom we would not exist. And as we heard in that second letter to the Hebrews, that Word spoke through the prophets of the Old Testament. That Word who spoke to Abraham, that Word that spoke to Moses in the burning bush, that Word prophesied by Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, that Word praised in the books of wisdom, where we hear there that the Word of God, that wisdom delights to be among the children of men. And it's this Word, in his delight to be among us, who comes to be Emmanuel, God with us. And yet, as John's gospel tells us, he was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. John means this not just historically in the circumstances of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, but in this larger scope of creation. We are his own. He is the one through whom we are created. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And yet he makes himself vulnerable so that he can be rejected. He is that life, that eternal life of God, that eternal light of God that enlightens our mind. And yet we know from our own experiences how easy it is to prefer other lights. We can prefer the lights of our minds, those of other people. As we see more and more common these days, people prefer the lights of their screens. And yet, to use a kind of maybe homely metaphor, who of us would prefer those fluorescent, environmentally friendly lights to the sun? Yeah, they give off light, but it's kind of sickly and something's just not right. So it is too sometimes, many times, with ourselves and with those around us, claiming to be lights, claiming to have wisdom, claiming to have knowledge, claiming to know what we ought to know. And sure, it goes pretty far sometimes, but only so far. It is through Christ that we come to know not merely who God is, but who we are as human beings. We would expect, perhaps, the God of the universe to come in an extremely obvious way with the angels proclaiming him, descending from the clouds, perhaps. We might wonder, why, God, can't you just be more obvious? But it is because he's trying to reveal to us who we are that he comes as a child in an obscure part of the world, who is even rejected in his family's hometown of Bethlehem, born among the animals, laid in a manger, laid in that trough for food for beasts. And he makes himself subject to human beings, to his mother, to his foster father, Joseph. And he becomes obedient to them because he is obedient to God. And he gives his life out of obedience for God, yes, but out of love for the Father and out of love for us, his creatures. He is that Prince of Peace who reconciles in himself this gift of the Father's love and our human rejection of him. He, as a human being, reveals to us what it means to be a child of God. And as John's Gospel says, gives us the power to become children of God. To become a child of God is not, as John says, by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by our decision, but of God. Human history is full of human beings trying to become God. We perhaps are not so conscious of it, but how easily do we get frustrated when things don't go our way, when our control over things fail. Perhaps some of that was tested earlier this year when many were without electricity for many days due to the hurricane and left without all the usual comforts. Where did we find ourselves? We realized we weren't really in control. And yet, that baby in the manger, that place of food for beasts, invites us into the third dimension of this Christ that we celebrate at Christmas. The one who, at the right hand of the Father, still comes to us humbly, mysteriously, invisibly in the Eucharist. So that for all of our sinfulness and our need for repentance, his grace comes to us every day if we want. His presence comes to us and allows us to partake in his divinity. That is the most basic definition of grace: participation in God, in his divine nature. And this is how God, in giving himself to us, gives us the gift of himself, that we might become what he is, just as he has become what we are. But that humility, that gift of self, is the way in which we do that. It's the opposite of how we might instinctively think God ought to be. And yet it is that love of God that pours himself out in creation, that has poured himself out in Christ, in his birth, in his death on the cross, and in the Eucharist that we participate in and are called to do the same. So that as John the Baptist was that witness to the light that is Christ, we too become witnesses by the way we live our lives, participating in that grace of God, so that we reflect that light of Christ. And that grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. The Greek is actually kind of crazy here. It is super, super abundant grace that John speaks of, that is always ever greater than our limits, than our sinfulness, than our lack of love. And this all is offered to us. But it is because God wants not merely slavish obedience, but our love, that it is possible for us to reject so great a gift. After being offered such a gift, we should be changed. And we are, whether we accept it or not. And yet, that silent pleading of the word, to allude to one of our Christmas carols, silent pleading of the word in the manger, the silent pleading of the word in the Eucharist, continues to call us, to pray for us, to intercede for us, that we might have our hearts broken open to receive him. To receive him who is in the Father's own heart, as the Greek says. The Son who has come from the Father's heart shows us the Father's heart, desires that we be taken into that heart. So ultimately, we love with that love that is God. That love that we know that at certain points we aren't capable of ourselves. Yet that is the gift that God has given us. And that is what we celebrate on this Christmas day. That God has given himself to us, for us. And merely appeals to our most basic humanity to open our hearts and accept him, and to live in him and through him as he created us to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.